Presenting
The Complete
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells.
This is Orson Welles speaking from London.
As the third man.
Stand by.
We'll be on the air in 15 seconds, Mr. Welles.
Yes, I know.
Stand by, everybody.
Mercury Theater on the air presents Orson Welles as Count Dracula in his own version of Bram Stoker's great novel, Dracula.
What evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Hello, world. Welcome to The Complete Orson Welles, brought to you by Duane Oldtime Radio. This podcast will feature various classic radio programs ranging mostly from 1936 to 1952 that Orson either produced and directed, was featured on, or starred as a guest. Thank you for your support. Hope you enjoy The Genius of Mr. Welles. This week we have the Orson Welles Almanac. This one is titled Lucille Ball because it has his guest host, or his guest rather, the infamous and extremely famous and legendary Lucille Ball, and oh, quite beautiful in her day. She was an extremely attractive lady, in my opinion. This one is from the date of March 8th, 1944.
Good evening, this is Orson Welles, just saying hello before the show starts. This is your radio almanac for March 8th. The moon entered Virgo this morning. The moon in Virgo is a nice, sociable sign, friendly and helpful, like the man who sells you your mobile gas. Prudence Pratt, I think we've got a minute for a household hint.
The white of an egg and a few drops of lemon juice will enable you to whip coffee cream. Doesn't taste very good, though.
Thank you, Prudence Pratt. And now our wonders of science department, Colonel P. Bristle.
Chicle, which comes from the equatorial jungles, is the basis of all chewing gum. To prevent chewing gum from becoming matted in the eyebrows, stop blowing such big bubbles.
Welcome, one and all, to the sign of the Flying Red Horse. Tonight and every week at the same time, over these same stations, the makers of mobile gas and mobile oil bring you Orson Welles. Good evening, good evening. Tonight we present, let's see, what do we present? Where's my secretary, Miss Grimmett?
You needn't snap at me. You know I can always go back to driving rivets.
Yes, but why should you strain yourself? They have machines for that now, you know. Let's forget the entire incident. I wish it had never happened. Who's our guest this evening?
Lucille Ball.
Oh, that's right. She'll be over later. She would have been here now, but she's working on an income tax blank.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the government wants Lucille Ball to fill out her form? Anything else?
Yes, there are three feeble-minded young ladies out here, the Orson Welles Swoon Club.
Feeble-minded? They're not feeble-minded.
They swoon when they see you, don't they?
Yes.
I rest my case.
Well, rest it in the outer office and send them in.
Okay, girls, swoon bait will see you now.
There he is.
Welsie.
In the flesh.
Members of the Orson Welles Swoon Club, I bid you welcome.
Very nice swooning, girls. But I must remind you that the function of the Swoon Club is to follow the chosen one at all times. Where were you last Thursday night at 11 o'clock?
At Gorman's Chinese Theater.
Oh?
Picketing the Academy Award Committee.
They didn't give you an Oscar.
Oh, I don't mind. I'd sooner they gave it to some of the less experienced players who need the encouragement. Furthermore, where were you on Friday? I came out of the Players Club expecting an ovation, girls swooning at my feet, and what happened? A dog bit me. Oh, what we need is more members.
Yeah, I know a girl I might talk into joining the club.
Oh, fine, bring her around.
I can't.
Why not?
They never let her out of the cage.
Well, there must be some way to get new members. Perhaps if we gave out some marvelous prize or premium, nylon baby socks or, bobby socks, I guess that is. For me, it's booby socks or something. Now, I've got it. An autographed photograph. How would this go, girls? An autographed photograph of me. By the way, Aggie, did you get that new picture I sent you?
Yes, yes. I put it up over my bed like you told me. Oh, Orsi, you look wonderful. wonderful in a sarong.
What sarong? I never had a picture taken in a sarong. That must be Dorothy L'Amour you have.
Oh, I thought it was funny. Bob Hope and Bing Crosby kissing you.
Don't worry, Orsi.
And don't you feel bad about not getting an Academy Award.
Yeah. Yeah, Wellesley, here's a little present we brought you. We knitted it ourselves.
Oh, girls, you shouldn't have done it. It's a lovely knitted tie. But what's this bump on the end of it?
That's the big toe. It started out to be a pair of socks.
All right, girls, run along now. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, master.
Miss Grimmett.
You called?
Yes, Miss Grimmett. Have you notified Miss Ball we're expecting her?
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, fatso.
That's better. We must have discipline around here.
The Hotel Carlton has been calling you all week. They're suing you.
The Hotel Carlton suing me? What for?
You did a magic show in their ballroom, and the rabbits you produced did a lot of damage.
I only produced two rabbits. Couldn't they round them up?
No, they're short-handed.
Well, why didn't they enlarge their staff?
They did, but so did the rabbits.
Well, I'll try and straighten the matter out with them. The Hotel Carlton, get me that, please. Perhaps if I rent a suite of rooms, they'll drop their suit, and Harry Esmond will dial it on the phone.
Here's your party.
Hello?
Good morning, Carlton Rabbit Farm. If it eats lettuce, we have it.
Isn't this the Carlton Hotel?
Formerly the Carlton Hotel. Now we're in the rabbit business.
Well, this is Orson Welles. I feel I've done you people an injustice with my rabbit show, and to make up for it, I'd like to rent a suite of rooms at your establishment.
One moment, please. Hello? Sorry, we can't give you a room.
Did you tell the management for Orson Welles?
Yes.
What did he say?
Nothing. Just keeps staring at me with his big pink eyes.
Mr. Grimmett, Lucille Ball is our guest tonight. Have the florist send her 24 roses, please.
Roses? Balisneria spiralis? Good heavens, are you out of your mind? How about something of the genus Malva rotundifolia caniculatus, commonly known as Senecia vulgaris?
Definitely not.
Why?
I don't know. It sounds dirty. Sound dirty to Louis Titterton, I know. He's the censor, Louis Titterton. Of course, if you had a name like Louis Titterton, anything would sound dirty. Louis Titterton sounds dirty. Let's get back to the script. Look, just run down to the florist. Run down to the florist and get a bunch... Run down to the florist and get a bunch of the genus Magnesius perhuvus praggle carcass.
For Miss Ball?
Yes, and what's wrong, please, with Magnesius perhuvus praggle carcass?
Nothing, but do you think she'll like stinkweed?
Well, then you pick something out.
Oh, I forgot. Here's a package that came for
you. Oh, for me?
Yes.
Flowers from Lucille Ball. Open them up, Miss Grimmett. What kind are they?
Magnesius perhuvus praggle carcass?
I know.
Stinkweed.
And one
more thing. There's a man from the reducing salon here to see you.
What? Send him away. It's just propaganda. I won't see him.
Oh, bonjour.
What are you
bonjour,
laughing
bonjour,
at?
Bonjour, 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 bonjour. Monsieur Wells, n'est-ce pas?
Yes.
Are your hands clean?
Yes.
My car. Never mind, I will read it to you. Presenting Jacques-François Louis-Philippe Pepe Moisture de Champagne.
How do you do?
How would you like to have an estimate on a new body, eh? We give you complete renovation.
I do not need complete renovation.
Oh, let me look you over. Ooh la la, you are one big fellow.
Certainly I'm one big fellow. What do you think I was, two little ones?
Allons, we take out the tape measure, we measure the chest.
Uh-huh.
40 inches. Take a deep breath, please. Chest expanded, 39 and a half.
Well, I expand from the inside. I'm no show-off.
Hips.
Uh-oh. No.
Hips have to tie two tape measures together.
Nonsense.
No. You cannot argue with me. I know if a person is too heavy. I've not worked 15 years for nothing in Bullock's basement. I am the girdle coordinator.
Girdle coordinator? What's that?
If a size 44 tries to get into a size 38, I help push.
Sure, you must leave the ladies breathless.
Folks, the Mobile Gas Mathematics class is now in session. My subject? Fractions. Not the grade school kind, the gasoline kind. Gasoline for automobiles is made by blending light and heavy fractions. The light, which spark up first, are there for snappy start. The heavy fractions bring you mileage. Since Pearl Harbor, more and more of these lighter elements have gone to fuel our fighting planes. So driving's different these days. Yes, in every way. Your gasoline, your speed, the length of trips you take. Now, the makers of Mobile Gas want you to get the best results from wartime driving. Here are tips to help you. 1. Warm up a chili motor 30 seconds before driving. 2. Don't jam down on your accelerator. Press it gently. 3. Drive a moderate speed, neither race nor crawl. 4. Keep your battery in condition to turn your engine over quickly. And finally, switch to Mobile Gas for mileage. This famous gasoline is packed with every wartime mile it's possible to give you. Mobile Gas in 1944 is giving all the mileage that it gave in peacetime. Can you beat that? Brother, you cannot. So drive in, get friendly with your friendly Mobile Gas dealer. Trade your coupons for America's favorite gasoline, Mobile Gas, at the sign of the Flying Red Horse.
Thank you, John McIntyre. Ladies and gentlemen, your radio almanac brings you now a little music, but first, here's a last-minute bulletin from Dr. Snake Oil.
If a fishbone becomes lodged in a person's throat, turn him upside down and slap him on the shoulder blades. Caution, in an upside down position, a person's shoulder blades are not where you think they'd be.
That was, of course, you recognized it, Bessie Mimucho, Lud Gluskin playing it. It's an extraordinary name, Lud Gluskin, isn't it? Sounds like an unborn burp. Back to our script. And here's our guest of the evening, ladies and gentlemen. An enthusiasm I know you share with me, Miss Lucille Ball.
Everybody. Hello, Orson.
Lucille, we're very happy to have you back with us in the Mercury Theater, and I'd like to tell you that for the occasion, I've written a sketch which is just full of romantic love scenes.
Oh, good. Who have you got to play it with me?
Well, I'll... Oh, seriously, Lucille, I trust you were joking. We could be a sensation on the radio. I can just hear the announcer saying, "The makers of Crunchies bring you Lucille Ball and Orson Welles. Friends, have you tried Crunchies for breakfast? Crunchies is that new crispy breakfast cereal that pops and snaps, crickles and crackles, wheezes and snorts. It makes a heck of a racket. But here's the real surprise. When you put crunchies in a bowl and pour milk over them, they get soggy, spelled S-O-G-G-Y. And now, the case of the blue blood stain, or it was too Utter and McKinley. On with the play.
Mickey, darling.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey?
I just want to glance over the headlines, dear. Have you seen this?
No, what?
Man found in alley, stabbed, shot, poisoned, robbed, and hung. Police suspect foul play.
Well, that's nice. This is your night off, dear. Stop playing detective.
All right. Go to bed.
Alone? My feet are cold.
I know.
Mickey, where were you last night?
Oh, Dora, don't be silly. You know how I feel about you. You're the eighth wonder of the world.
Yeah, well, don't ever let me catch you with the other seven, bub.
Oh, well, I guess we might as well turn in.
Oh, Mickey, it's so nice to spend an evening like this. Lounge around in pajamas and then flop right into bed. It's so nice, dark and quiet. Mickey, scratch my back. Mickey, is your circulation good? Your hand feels so cold. Mickey?
What do you want, dear? I'm in here brushing my teeth. You say something, Dora?
I screamed.
Well, please don't. The neighbors will think I'm beating you again.
There's somebody in that bed, and he's cold.
Well, throw another blanket on him, dear. Don't be inhospitable.
Mickey, I tell you, there's a man in that bed, and it looks to me like foul play.
Well, it's probably not as serious as you think. Maybe he just died.
Then what's he doing in our bed?
Well, you know how difficult it is to find a room these days.
Well, the least you could do is turn the light on.
That's an idea. Here we are. Yep, there's a body, all right. Wonder whose it is.
Well, don't stand there. Do something.
This is strange, Dora. This fellow's got 18 knife wounds in him, and there are no holes in his shirt. What do you make of that?
Must have been an inside job.
Yeah, something of that. We can't leave him here. Give me a hand, Dora. Push his feet. Sir Daisy. Well, what do we do now?
Let's go to sleep.
Oh, not with him lying there, dear. It's practically indecent.
I don't care. I'm sleepy.
Well, I suppose we could go to sleep and clear this up in the morning.
That's better. Did you hear that?
What?
That. Look, that closet door. It's opening.
Fine thing, a squeaky door on an oil program. Yes?
Mickey, there's somebody in that closet. What's the matter? Scared to go in there?
Of course not. I'm not scared. I'm a detective. I must be brave. I must be strong. I must be courageous. I must be going. So long.
Come back here. Mickey.
Yes?
You know that body we just took out of our bed?
Yes.
He brought a friend.
So he did. So he did. Someone, and I threw a rock through the window with a note on it. It says, keep your mouth shut and throw $1,000 out of the window or you'll never get another sound effect. No, excuse me. Keep your mouth shut and throw $1,000 out of the window or there'll be four bodies in your room.
$1,000? We haven't got $1,000.
Another rock with a note on it. It says, P.S. I'll settle for $9.50. Stay here, dear. I'm going to take a look in the kitchen.
Well, hurry back, dear. These two aren't much on conversation,
Dora,
you know.
Dora, come here quickly!
Mickey!
Dora!
What are you doing up on that chair? Did you see another body?
No, a mouse. Help me down, dear. That must be the murderer. Come in.
Pardon me. I was just passing.
I'll take that line again. That must be the murderer. Come in.
Pardon me, I was just passing the hall, and I heard you say you was going to move.
You should have kept moving, Pop.
We'd just like to sublet this apartment.
Say, darling, do you smell gasoline?
Yes.
I've solved the case. Stick him up, flat top.
No, you don't. I got your boat covered. I'm going to let your boat have it. Where do your boat want it?
Look here, you're not going to shoot us in cold blood, are you?
He's not going to warm it up for us.
Where's your patriotism? You can't shoot him.
Why not?
Don't you know the government's trying to save waste fats?
That does it.
Friends, try a bowl of Crunchies. Crunchies topped off with delicious, luscious, fresh strawberries in cream. Oh, what a dish. If you can get strawberries and cream, what do you want crunchies for? Crunchies. And now back to Mickey and Dora.
Darling, you've been hit. You're bleeding.
It's nothing.
I know, but we've just had the rug cleaned.
Right there. I hit him on the head during the commercial. I also called the police. There you are, officer. There's your man.
I got him.
And incidentally, there are two corpses in the bedroom. Would you pick them up today, please?
I'm sorry. We only pick up on Fridays. OPA ruling, you know. I see.
Friends, not long ago, we checked 10,000 cars, and what'd we find? 6 out of every 10 needed fresh oil. Now, neglect like that encourages burned bearings, worn-out cylinder walls, and wasted gasoline. It's not enough to have your crankcase full. The point is, are you sure that oil is clean? Do you think because you're making shorter trips at slower speeds, you needn't change your oil so often? Boy, you're in reverse. Under these conditions, oil thins out, gets dirty faster, dust and sludge accumulate, engine parts corrode, get worn. And parts are almost irreplaceable today. So drive on into lubrication headquarters at the sign of the Flying Red Horse. Get your crankcase filled up full with fresh, clean Mobile Oil, the world's bestseller. Make this your motto. Fresh Mobile Oil, frequently.
And now we're going to hear from a young lady who always leaves the song better than it was before she found it. Miss Ella Mae Morse.
You've seen him up and down the avenue, and now he's wearing the navy blue. She had a tear in the corner of her eye as he said his last goodbye. Shoo, 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 baby. To the seven seas. Now don't cry, baby. Don't cry, baby. Bye, 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 baby. When I come back, we'll live a life of ease. Seems kind of tough now. To you another day. Shoo, 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 baby. Don't cry, baby. Bye, 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 baby. Papa's off to the seven to the seven seas, but he'll be back when the war is over. And we'll all be living in clover. But right now,
ladies and gentlemen. The serious side of your radio almanac is dedicated tonight to that solemn assumption upon which the peoples of the earth have erected their democracies. The immense premise that every man belongs to all men. This, I think, is nowhere better said than in the devotion of John Donne's I'm going to quote from. You'll recognize in it the source of a Hemingway title. I'm sure you'll hear in it the just resonance of truth. Nunc lentus sonitu dicunt morieris. Now this bell, tolling softly for another, says to me, thou must die. All mankind is of one author and is one volume. When one man dies, one chapter is not torn out of the book, but translated into a better language. And every chapter must be so translated. God employs several translators. Some pieces are translated by age, some by sickness, some by war, some by justice. But God's hand is in every translation. And his hand shall bind up all our scattered leaves again for that library where every book shall lie open one to another. And therefore, the bell that rings to a sermon calls not upon the preacher only, but upon the congregation to come. So this bell calls us all, who bends not his ear to any bell which upon any occasion rings. But who can remove it from that bell, which is passing a piece of himself out of this world? No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less. As well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind. And therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Well, it's time to say goodnight now, everybody. Please join us again next Wednesday night. Until then, my sponsors, the makers of Mobil Gas and Mobil Oil, and all of us in the Mercury Theater, remain as always, obediently yours.
Mobile Gas and Mobile Oil invite you to listen in next week, same time, same station, to your radio almanac. Mr. Wells' guest is Charles Laughton. Lucille Ball appeared through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Broadway Rhythm. And Ella Mae Morse is soon to be seen featured in Universal's new Olsen & Johnson comedy, The Ghost Catchers. John McIntyre speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you for listening to and showing your support for my podcast. If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Subscriptions are 100% free, and they really help me get an idea of how I'm doing.